Yeah, see, so I'm an English major, and I've learned to really non-speak the literacies over the years. And yeah, so unsquare the screen. That's I think we say that. I think we say that's minimizing in IT. Yeah, minimize the screen. I'm like, yeah, unsquare it. Can we unsquare the screens, guy, and learn to? Can we learn them the literacies? That's me, creative writing major in technology. And yeah, this is the reality of this. So, welcome everyone back to Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Today, Cyber Mike is on the show. We're going to talk some I don't know, hacking stuff, how to protect your company. Possibly, we might even have. Do you have any advice on how to deal with auto mechanics? Just curious, you might have some advice.
Auto mechanics, yeah, I'm very, very experienced in that. Yeah,
How do I pronounce your last name? Is
avoid
it
them.
Brangwine? Is your last name Brangwine?
It's Brangwyn. Yeah, it's a doozy. That's why I'm
Brangwine.
Cyber Mike. That's, you know.
No, but really, for anyone out there that's dealing with car mechanics, you must have some advice. I mean, it just sounds like maybe you've dealt with something like that as of recent or anything.
Yeah, try to avoid them if possible. If not, keep saying no until your face turns blue.
Oh, you mean no to their price or
Yeah,
whatever
exactly.
they're charging you? What are we working
Yeah.
on lately? What do we have to fix lately? I'm just curious. Other than
Oh.
fixing security, that guy could sic a virus on you.
Yeah,
Shut down your
that's true
shop.
too.
I could sic a
Yeah.
virus on you and shut your shop down in 2 seconds. I'm Cyber Mike.
That's also true. That's also true. Yeah, now cars overheating and it's just not a good thing. I don't want it to catch on fire, especially it's, you know, the car for the wife and the kids, so we
Oh yeah, that's not
gotta
bad.
fix that for
I've
real.
had a van catch on fire. I used to have a
Oh, jeez.
Chevy 3500, back left brake pad welded itself shut going down the highway, and then all of a sudden people were like beeping their horns, and we were stuck. And then we got stuck in a traffic jam, and the car started like people were like beeping. They're like, "Your car is on fire! Your car is on fire!" And it literally was. I was like, "Everyone, get out of the van!" All eight kids. Like, everyone get out of
Oh,
the van.
jeez.
We're on the side of the road in the middle of the summertime. It's super hot in a traffic jam. Somehow got over the side. I think I don't know how we got the fire out. Somehow we got the fire out, and then I managed to drive it to a brake place, and then I had to deal with mechanics. So there's your mechanic story.
Yeah.
And they probably bent me over for whatever they did because I was stuck halfway between my destination and a bunch of kids sitting in a waiting room. So they're kind of laughing, like, oh,
Oh yeah.
it's
Yeah,
bad.
they know you're in trouble at that point. You've lost all the cards.
So anyways, director of technology and cybersecurity, we have to do both. We have to do both because it's just the nature of the business. Not everyone can have a CISO. I'm sure you'd love to just be the CISO and maybe not the director of information technology, or the other way around, or we love doing both.
We're working on it. We'll get there eventually.
So today, but the beauty of this is there's a lot of people that are director of information technology, and they're kind of like, I know we need to do something about our security. I think we do. I think we do. I just have this feeling that, things are insecure. And they're probably right about that. Would you agree?
Yeah, no doubt. There's definitely always room for improvement.
So I really want to, the point today is to give back. So I want Cyber Mike to go over whatever you want to go over with security. Like when we come in, where should we begin? What should we do? What are people dealing with? I don't know. I'm going to open it up to you. But actually, before we do that, let's go back in time a little bit more. How'd you get started in this whole gig?
Yeah, I was one of those kind of elevate myself, through the IT realm. You know, I started when I was young, just doing IT things at school, you know, fixing the computers, getting pulled out of class because I was a computer nerd that liked computers. And then, you know, went from that to help desk, started doing some things in networking, started getting certified for servers. So it was really just my overall, like, interest in all things computers, and through different jobs that I had, eventually I landed at cybersecurity, and it was like, wow, this is amazing. I love this. So just my background of wanting to be curious and learn more about computers just kind of
That's coming up a lot lately.
evolved.
Curiosity is coming up a lot. It came up yesterday on a show that'll probably be released in 2 weeks, but the because we've got so many shows now that we're backed up. I think Greg the Frenchman, he's the guy behind the scenes doing my production with a team of people. So Greg the Frenchman, maybe we should start releasing, three or four shows a week, not just two a week, because we got so many. But guy, you went to UMass Dartmouth, guy. How in when writing, yeah, you learn to write in UMass. That's in Dartmouth, though. That's not ZooMass. That was an Amherst, right? We used to call that ZooMass.
Yeah, yeah, not the zoo.
So someone's gonna know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people are talking about curiosity being that's one of the number one things you should hire for when you're looking for someone to hire in technology. And I don't know if you agree or not, because they're saying people that are curious will want to figure out how to fix broken crap, and they'll want to figure out how this stuff works. And you were saying, I was just really curious, and that's what led you down the line. And now you love this security stuff. We'll get to that in a second, but there's got to be some link between that and writing in English.
Yeah, writing in English was a little bit different. So I started actually in computer engineering, doing a lot of coding, just stuck in the dark room. And I think there's really two people. You either like coding or you don't like coding. And I'm not a particular fan of coding.
You either like coders or you don't like coders.
Yeah, but no. The type of coding that I do like is really like CSS and like HTML and web pages, which... you know, WordPress and all that fun stuff that did it for you wasn't around when I was younger, you know, so it was very code centric and making web pages for people. So that's kind of where the writing came in, was a focus in online marketing and advertising to do like web pages and web advertising for people. And while still using the credits from when I did engineering to graduate, most free electives is the writing major. So That's kind of how it like all kind of tied together. Cause you know, when I was young, I was putting flyers up at the grocery store saying, hey, I'll design your company's webpage for you for cheap. A high school student, college student. So it was just like one of the many things that I did. Like I said, just interests all over, you know.
Our biggest struggle right now is our webpage. Our webpage is like, I'd give it like a C+ to a B-, but I am struggling, probably like you've struggled with mechanics, on finding a really good web designer. I mean, we're on WordPress right now, but WordPress can be, I'm sure you have some thoughts on security around WordPress right now with the number of plugins and just weak points and stuff like that. We definitely got hit with a really bad malware virus later in the summertime. And then our host was... there's such a joke. They're like, okay, well, we'll migrate you. We'll remove all the malware, right? We'll use another third party. Let's use, I can't remember what we used to clean off all the malware, but then we'll back up your website and we'll reload it on a more secure, faster server, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Yeah, whatever. So let's back up the website with all the malware on it. Let's clean the malware off and then let's restore the website with all the malware back on it. How genius was that? That one was really stupid. We'll do the backup with all the malware on it. Then we'll clean all the malware off, and then we'll migrate you back, and we'll use the backup that had all the malware on. That's probably one of the most moronic things I've ever had happen.
Yeah. Anyways, backups is key, and WordPress is really, you know, it's kind of like that whole Mac versus PC debate where PCs get more viruses. They dominate the market, and WordPress has kind of fallen into that, I think, too. Big target on their back. You see it with Microsoft now too. They're in the news every other week. So a lot of these big companies have really, really big targets. And I think it's just getting more and more lucrative. So I think that breaking point, we're getting closer to, you know, just everyone's getting hacked every day. I hope we never get there, but it's just really crazy right now.
What, you don't think we're not already there? Everyone getting hacked every day?
Yeah, we probably are and just don't know it. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so what was so passionate? What was so awesome when you went over to, like, why did you love cybersecurity so much? Or like when you found it, like you felt like you found your landing, your place, or you felt like I found where I'm meant to be. Like, why do you love it so much?
I feel like cybersecurity more than anything else really encompasses everything. It's really protecting everything and being the superhero kind of your company, where it looks at servers, it looks at networking, it looks at, people's personal computers. So it kind of brings all those things that I'm interested in all into one thing, so that I can learn everything, I can do everything. And that kind of comes back to when you were saying with people that are curious and want to know things. I think they're right, and that is very valuable. And one of the most valuable things in IT is not just people with the experience that have done things and know the answers, but really people that have gone out to search for answers and are good at finding the answers, because no one's going to have the answer to every problem. But having the ability to pivot and find the answers, I think that's really the key. If you find someone that's good at solving problems and good at finding the answers to problems, they're going to be very valuable in the IT field.
Yeah, or any field, period. I would love to just know that we can put people... It would be great if, as an employer in general, or family member, or father, or anyone, if we could just trust people to figure it out. I don't know. Figure it out. That'd be awesome. Come back to me when you think you got the idea. That's a great idea. No, that's terrible. Try again. So let's go over your first line of defense. Let's go over this that you've brought to the show so that we can give back to the community and for any other IT directors out there that may not have the same love or have not found their seat in security yet or are wondering. Maybe there's some very aha moments that we can provide for them and give back to the community. So I don't know where you want to begin. User training?
Yeah, user training and I think is the big point, especially email training, because that's, you know, over 80% of attacks are happening through email, which, you know, you don't blame them because it works. So I think a lot of people are using this as like a checkbox, and they're kind of like, hey, here's this blueprint A of training. I put everyone's email address on it and sent it out. We send phishing alerts using a base template without any thought behind it. So I think that's really something the cybersecurity and companies need to focus more on than they already are. They almost see it as like a checkbox. And since they're doing a thing, that the checkbox is checked.
Right. So don't be a lame IT director and just do something because we have to do it to check a box. Actually put some thought into it, I guess. I don't know what to say. I'm not accusing people of doing that, but a lot of times when I say, hey, we did this, we checked the box. Look, it didn't work. Or it may not work. So what are you saying around the email stuff? So what should we do? Modify? Should we use like a no before and then modify, or what should we do? A lot of people are really big fans of no before. I don't know. Are you a fan of no before?
Yeah, I've been using no before for a long time with a few different companies, actually. So I'm pretty aware of what they do, and they do a lot of really great things. They do have kind of that, like, here's the user training, send it to everyone. It's 30 minutes of a guy talking about cybersecurity, and that's really what it is to your users. Yeah, you know, it's not world famous hacker going over hacking things so that you're aware. It's like some guys talking about some stuff. There's no examples. It's half hour, 45 minutes long. Like, I have books signed by him and I'm bored by the training. So I can't imagine people not into cybersecurity going through this. It's almost like the Peanuts cartoon, right?
So what should we do to make it fun? We should do it. We should do our own little, let's do a side gig. Let's put together a side gig, like fun cybersecurity program.
Short,
that's only a half hour.
Fun, engaging videos. And they have some of those on Know Before. Make a list. Make the topics that you want to cover that are vital to your organization to cover. Finding red flags. If you're a physical site, then going over some of the physical security stuff. Get a list of things that are going to be important. Vishing, you know, SMS, text messages. That's a huge thing. I get them all the time. People pretending to be, the CEO sending you a text message. Like, those are things that you should be covering. Make them short, simple, sweet. If you can make them funny, that's key, right? It gets people talking about that ridiculous video that Cyber Mike sent last week. If they're not talking about it, they're going to forget about it. If they're talking about it and it's on their mind, then it might trigger some of those decision points of, I got an email, there's a link. Oh, that ridiculous video Cyber Mike sent me. This is a perfect example of that. I need to click the button, you know?
Yes. So many thoughts flooded my mind just then with text messages and things that might be completely HR inappropriate that you could send that people would click on. Did you see the picture of the CEO? He got caught with his pants down during a Zoom call. Click here. Did you see it, John? Did you see it, John? Did you see that picture of Mike with his pants down during the Zoom call? What? Click.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there, especially there. You know, I think back to one that I had released recently, that a video that they had, and it was over barcodes and scanning barcodes, which, you know, is a thing coming in emails, and you think about all the restaurants use them now to be safe and pay attention to what you're doing clicking there. But the video was like a poster with a guy on his walking his dog, you know, in dog walking services poster, and he was about to scan it, and you know what I mean? It's like it was a humorous thing, and they almost made they made like a joke on doing number two. You know, it was like a 1 minute video, and it wasn't like hysterical hilarious, but it's going to draw people's attention more than the other things are, especially with the cute dog in there. Everyone loves dogs.
And it was, it was like mild enough that it wasn't too over the top, that it seemed very, very like harmless.
Yeah, right. And then I have people talking to me about it, which is exactly what you want. And make sure to have something to talk about when they mention it to you, right? And a lot of times I'll try to prep myself when I release these videos to think, okay, what's a real world example that I can use that maybe I ran into, or something that I saw recently in the news about barcode scanners, for when they talk to me about this video, right? Because I want to try and get them to relate to it and make the villain real to them, and not like somebody get clicked a thing, this is never going to happen to me. Like, show them it's real, you know?
So Cyber Mike has a very good first line of user defense training sheet that we are going to provide for everyone out there listening. So if you listen to this episode all the way to the end, then you may through to the end, then, which of course you are, because this is crazy exciting stuff, and you'll get this download from, you'll be able to get this download. So number one was, it's very simple too. It's a do and a don't. It's a do this, a don't do that. So set yourself for success, make them not hate the training. Don't is long and boring. Do, short, engaging, memorable, silly, gets them talking. Real life examples for when employees talk to you. Ooh, what's a real life example? Yeah, remember Sheila? She's dead.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different there's a bunch of different ones where it's like, hey, you know, 2 years ago I had this happen, or hey, did you see recently in the news someone had clicked the barcode and it took over and downloaded all their photos and put them onto the web. It's just, you know, do your research and have like a, if you don't have one specifically yourself, an example that's kind of funny and gets them to remember it. Because a lot of times it's just the threat isn't real to them. They're like, oh, that happened to those guys. That idiot must have clicked it, some dumb guy. I'm not dumb. I'm never going to click on these. And then they do. And it's like, where did we fail? You know,
you work for a really cool company, by the way, you know, that does signage, or, you know, billboards and other signage and numerous other things. But we should have a big billboard that's like, don't click. It should be like, you got hacked. Like, I mean, we should do it. You know, your company should, like, you know, they should have a Cyber Mike billboard for you. It's going to promote your company. And of course, Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. We should have, our guy was on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Can we run that up the chain? I would love a billboard.
Yeah, I'll have to talk to him. We'll find something cool to do. We'll co-brand
or something, you know, I mean, like, we don't click at Wilkins. Do you? I don't know. We need something, you know.
That's a good idea.
All her photos are gone now.
Yeah, some of that stuff's cool.
We need something. You know, we need a billboard. So shout out to Wilkins. If anyone out there needs a billboard, you know, we call Cyber Mike. You know, that's the safe way. That's the safe way. No hacking there.
At Dissecting Popular IT Nerds, we expect to win, and we expect our IT directors to win. And one of those areas where we know that we can help you win is internet service providers. As an IT director tasked with managing internet connectivity, few vendor relationships can prove more painfully frustrating than the one with your internet service provider. The array of challenges seems never ending, from unreliable uptime and insufficient bandwidth to poor customer service and hidden fees. It's like getting stuck in rush hour traffic. Dealing with ISPs can try one's patience even on the best of days. So whether you are managing one location or 100 locations, our back office support team and vendor partners are the best in the industry. And the best part about this is none of this will ever cost you a dime due to the partnership and the sponsors that we have behind the scenes at Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. Let us show you how we can manage away the mediocrity and hit it out of the park. We start by mapping all of the available fiber routes, and we use our 1.2 billion in combined customer buying power and massive economy of scale to map all of your locations, to overcome construction fees, to use industry historical data, to encourage providers to compete for the lowest possible pricing, to negotiate the lowest rates guaranteed, and to provide fast response times in hours, not days. And we leverage aggregators and wholesale relationships to ensure you get the best possible pricing available in the marketplace. And on top of all of this, you get proactive network monitoring and proactive alerts so that you're not left calling 1-800-GO-POUND-SAND to enter in a ticket number and wonder, why is my internet connection down? In short, we are the partner that you have always wanted, who understands your needs, your frustrations, and knows what you need without you having to ask. So we're still human, but we are some of the best, and we aim to win. This all starts with a value discovery call where we find out what you have, why you have it, and what's on your roadmap. All you need to do is email internet@popularit.net and say, I want help managing all of my internet garbage. Please make my life easier, and we'll get right on it for you. Have a wonderful day. What is your, on your list, you have asked your employees what their favorite cyber training was. What have some of their answers been? I want to know, like, when you've asked, what have people's favorite cyber training been?
Yeah, it's a way to make sure that your silly videos are resonating with them, right? If they're like, oh, I don't really have one, this is boring, it's kind of like, okay, I didn't connect with them, I didn't make a connection. Mm-hmm. You know, if the doggy training video, they like that, it's like, okay, good, I connected them with them on that. And if not, then maybe I need to pivot for the next training. So I've had users that are talking to me about, you know, one of them was using the phish alert button to make sure that you report emails. Don't just delete them. It's not effective for me to be able to block them if you don't report it. It's not effective for me to be able to see these reported emails who didn't report it, but might have been tricked and actually clicked on it. And I can search for those and find those. So it was one where, you know, John or whatever the guy's name was had reported the phishing email. And the next day he comes in and the IT guy, they get confetti blasting all over them. And they're like, be the hero, be the company hero, report the phishing email. You know what I mean? So it's just like something silly like that. And it's kind of like, hey, it is important for you to submit it. So then like my story afterwards, when they bring that to me, like we said, we get to have that story ready is, hey, someone reported one and I found out that someone else had clicked it. We stopped them from taking over the company, reset the user's password that got tricked before the attack happened. So they really did save the company, right? So that's kind of...
Well, that's good. You're
following
this.
Up that communication with a real world example to tell them like, hey, user X, this actually happened in real life. It's not one of those stories of it could happen to you. Like it happened to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should have, and on top of that, we should have Cyber Mike's weekly company hero.
Yeah. I agree. Reward them, you know, send them a $20 gift card to Amazon, right? Cyber hero of the month, put their face on a little Cape Crusader and, you know, put that for the company meeting, you know, definitely.
I get mixed reviews around gamification. I personally am a fan. I love gamification. I love pitting people against each other. I love management by, someone accused me of running a media, what did they say? Meritocracy. Meritocracy. Phil, you run a meritocracy. This was years ago, a long time ago, before I knew anything about human beings and how to interact with people. But I was accused of running a meritocracy. I love gamification and meritocracies. But other IT directors don't feel, they don't like gamification. I don't know if it makes them feel uncomfortable, or I don't know if it's, I just don't want to, you know, do that to people, or I don't know what it is. I'm a fan of gamification. Are you?
Yeah, I like gamification. I like it a lot. It gets the juices flowing, and it, you know, if you're not as high as some of the other people, it's kind of like sometimes you want to fill the gap to be better, you know, and then maybe you're more aware and reporting more and being more active. And I also like villainification, you know, villainizing the person hacking you. You know, when you do phishing emails, have it on a landing page of a villain. I've done that before, and it gets people more connected. It gets them, it gets it realer. You know what I mean? When you send a phishing email and they click it, and it's like, you clicked a thing, red flag, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They don't really have, you know, there's no connection there. It's like, again, it's kind of reinforcing, like, this could happen to you. If you make it a villain that did it, then, oh, this happened to me. I got hacked. Here's who hacked me, right?
You know,
so
what
I've done that in the past. It's very effective.
For some reason, when you said villains, all these thoughts, I'm not a political guy, but a bunch of people popped into my mind when you said that. And I thought of Hillary Clinton's Bez server. Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, how did she have her own BlackBerry Exchange server? Like, no one, that just goes to show you how far security has come back in the day. Like, shouldn't that be like a massive violation of some kind of like security protocol?
Yeah, I don't, it's almost like they're trying to make their own like Bastion server to put additional security controls on, but then didn't, you know, I don't know.
It's either that, or it just shows you how popular BlackBerry was back in the day. It's just, man, I loved the BlackBerry Messenger so much, I had to go get my own server. There's just no way I'm going without a Bez.
It might've been someone at Wilkins Media. Maybe there was a billboard about the service and it really sold her on it. You never know.
I wish we could, you know, what would be cool? Maybe the next level, maybe we can figure this out. Maybe we can find the coders that you didn't want to be. Maybe we can find the coders to make a new security software where we can pit people against each other to try and hack each other. Maybe we can get employees so into this that they themselves want to become like hackers, and like we can figure out like, hey, I hacked Jan today and she hacked me. Is there any way we can do that? We get different employees to try and compromise other people.
That sounds like tricky grounds we're going into at this point. It sounds like we're training hackers. We're going to get subpoenaed at this point.
I was like, hey, Mike, she clicked on my email today. I just want to let you know.
No, that's true. Maybe you get points for it, or, you know.
Okay, so creating a villain, gamifying user training. We have a once a month do's and don'ts. What do you think?
Yeah, for me, it's really thinking ahead. And I think most people don't think ahead. They're more reactive with what they're doing. Me, I like to think ahead. So last month, I'm already thinking about Mother's Day. I'm already thinking about 1-800-Flowers and things like that to prep my users for Mother's Day and the hacks that they're getting. Another big one is next month, the weather's getting nice. Everyone's getting ready to do vacations and things like that. You're going to see malicious actors put a lot of emails out there about approving your vacation. So send them an email that says your vacation got denied. They're going to click it. I'm going to tell you right now.
Click here to I don't know what.
Yep. The guy from the week before that said, Mike, your Mother's Day one wasn't that good. You're never going to trick me. You're going to trick him this next month after that, because he's going to not want to miss out on vacation and wonder why his boss
denied
him.
Click here to resubmit your vacation time.
Yeah. Click here to see the reason why. And then they're going to be like, oh, I got to see why I got denied.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That is a good one. So we're thinking ahead. You know, man, all these ideas. Maybe I am going to start to like cybersecurity, because I felt like there's been this big rush, this big, you know, just not exodus. I don't know what you'd call it, from just this, like, everyone's going into cybersecurity, everybody. So, and it doesn't seem like there's enough seats to fill everyone that's going into cybersecurity right now. But maybe a lot of people just say that, but they don't really put the time and effort in, or I don't know. What do you have to say for all the new people out there that are growing up in the world, and maybe they're trying to find a career and they want to do something exciting and they like technology and they're like, I want to be into cybersecurity. Like, where do you begin? I mean, it just seems.
Yeah, it's really tough. That's a great question. For me, I always tell them, go into it with an open mind. start off with learning how computers work. And then from there, when you learn how computers work, learn how the networking works and the servers, and try to understand from a high level the different aspects. And that'll help you find your passion and find out what you're going to be passionate about. A lot of people like, oh, I want to do a lot of cyber. And then they find out most of it's documentation and making sure, you know, that you're up to date with your security and doing updates and whatever else you need to do there. And then they're like, oh my goodness, this is boring. I wish I did cloud, or, you know, I wish I did service desk stuff because I like helping people. Like, I wish I did servers because I really like the server application and all that
data
stuff.
Data center guys are happy. Look, I've never met a data center guy that's not happy. I really haven't. I've met all the coders I've met. I've rarely met one that's not miserable. I'm just being honest with you. Is there a coder out there? Everyone listening, please, someone out there. Oh, I know a coder. He's happy. Okay. Please send him. We want to have him on the show. Every data center guy I've ever met is just loves his job. I just love walking around and racking and stacking and energy and moving cables and, you know, compute power. And I don't know, you know, migrating stuff. Data center guys love their job. But all the security guys tend to love their job too. But sometimes you have the benefit of also running IT at the same time. Some guys that are only security, sometimes it's the job that only it's a thankless job. Right. It's like we didn't get hacked. Why do we need you? And then when we did get hacked, like you're fired.
Yeah. No, that's a lot of that. It's the same thing with IT. It's like my computer was working great and I was working and everything was good and I wasn't thinking about the IT guy. And then it broke and I'm mad at you. So it's a lot of that. My computer broke. It's all your fault. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Let's go. Okay. So moving down this sheet some more, once a month, don't use the same. I know what it was. It would be great if we just had a really cool, we should just have like a pod of other IT directors where you just make up hacking emails or phishing emails all day. And we just fish each other's companies. That's maybe an idea. We'll probably do that cheaper than someone else. That'd be fun.
Yeah. That would be gamification, right? To phishing email testing. That would make you really challenge your employees and challenge the other company's employees, right?
Yeah, let's put together everyone that's been on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds maybe listening to the show. Let's just put together a security company. I don't know. We'll call it a phishing pod. I don't know. We'll just fish everyone's company. Like, hey, I got a guy over here. I know he's going to click on something that you write. He knows me by now. Can you fish him for me? Don't use the same from email address. Trick your users with different from email addresses. What are we going to do? Buy different? We're going to buy up domains now, or what are we doing?
Yeah, they're kind of like spoof ones that you can use, but I find people that set mass ones and they'll use IT@companyname.com or they'll use HR@companyname.com. Like mix it up, change it up, do different things. Sometimes add a funny one in there. Like I like doing that with the URLs, is add funny URLs in there from time to time. Because again, it gets them talking, especially the ones that saw it. They think it's hilarious when it's donotclick.com or something like that. People are still clicking it because they don't read it, right? And then it's funny and you're like, oh my God, that's such a funny URL. I'm going to hover over my URLs to see the next funny one Mike does, right? So then
So you did your job.
Gets them in that behavior. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the first thing I do is when I get something like that, I look at it and I'm like, it's like user 2563@gmail.com and he BCC'd or CCC'd like 1,000 other people. Like, are they really that dumb? Are some of these hackers they're just really that lazy. It must be that easy. Their job must be that easy that they do that stuff.
Yeah, some of them are really easy. Some of them get a little more advanced where they're using some behind like Cloudflare or some that are hosted on Microsoft. So some of them can look like legitimate links and it's really tough. But if you ever question it, I always just say to click the button. Let me click it in my sandbox. You don't need to click it on your work computer.
Don't use cookies. No, never mind. Don't use cookie cutter. Don't use cookie cutter emails with no relevance. Use time on content, relevant content. Yes. So that would be the Mother's Day, right? Versus vacation times.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Don't any other good ones? The vacation one's great, dude. Your vacation's not been approved. That one's really good. You got any other good ones?
Yeah, I really like the vacation one. And then some of them a lot of times are like the timing So like doing like the free turkeys before Thanksgiving. I know it sounds like kind of cliche, but you can have fun with those and, you know, get your paint skills to test, drawing some turkeys and stuff like that, and having some fun with it. Like, you can still have fun with these and make them fun.
Donate this time of year. Donate.
Appeal to emotions.
And like,
they'll be dropping like PayPal emails right now, and it's like, save that for the holidays. Like, do that before the major holidays, before Christmas and stuff like that, is your PayPal emails and your Amazon emails and stuff like that. Or if you do an Amazon one, it's a swimming pool one now and not like Christmas stockings that you purchased, right? And don't always just do the iPads. Like, that's what they do a lot. Like, we're so used to some of that training by the malicious people have trained us that if you get an email that says you purchased an iPad and it's $1,000, call Apple support. Like, most people have been trained now that they know that that's BS, you know?
Call Microsoft. Microsoft, that's the one that got my dad. It still gets him, Steve, yeah. Microsoft calls, your computer's been hacked. I need to get on your computer. Give me a, go to logmein.com, whatever they're using. Not logmein, they're probably using AnyDesk. Here, I need you to go to AnyDesk and give me this code and we're going to clean up your computer for you. Send me $600. And can you go open up a bank account and can we pay you to send email to India?
Yeah, those are the ones that hurt me. Then I call them like non-PC users, some of the older generation that aren't so savvy and haven't been trained, you know.
That's a whole industry.
Those are the tough ones. Yeah, it's tough. Those are the ones that hurt me a lot when things like that are happening.
I just ripped my dad's computer out and got rid of it, just threw it away.
My dad doesn't really use one either. So
changed his phone number, like literally everything. Yep. Changed his phone number because what happened was he was paying some dude like six. When I finally figured it out, I realized he had probably paid this guy at least $3,000 to $4,000. I would think over like two years, right?
Yeah,
and I eventually tried to do like a sting operation. It was a pretty I was actually going to get on a plane and fly to like wherever it was in India. I was actually going to go. And then I was like, I might get killed. You never know. I never really know what's on the other end.
Yeah.
But I was even tried contacting like the India version of the FBI. We're trying, you know, to report these phishing emails and everything. But what was really interesting was this whole industry of people preying on the elderly that have computers and, you know, they still have AOL addresses and they're on Facebook and stuff like that. And, you know, they're always like, people always, it's the friends of them that get suckered into doing the gift cards and all this stuff. This guy was so good. He would get them to call him back. So it would be like, you know, like there's a virus on your computer, like whatever he could get on the computer, call Microsoft right now, 1-800. And, you know, so he'd get him to call that. And then I would go on my dad's computer and remove whatever was in the, like, I can't remember, registry or whatever he put on there to, like, you know, have a little blinking number on the bottom right-hand corner that was like, you know, call for support.
Yeah.
And I would eliminate all that stuff. And then I even changed his phone number. So the guy would stop calling him and be like, you know, doc, this is Steve from Microsoft. You know, I changed his phone number, everything. Then the guy sends him a first class mail that's like open immediately. He had my dad's address. Goodness. Sends him a first class mail that says, like, this is from Microsoft. We've noticed some illegal activity on your computer. Please call the Microsoft support line like immediately. He even sent him a piece of mail.
That's nuts.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's nuts.
So then my dad calls him from the number that I changed. So now he's got his new number. Got to call the telecom company again, change the number again.
Yeah.
You know, tell all the help in the house, block the, don't let them get the mail. You know, anytime. It's wild. So anywho, so we catch people, do something. What's up with the communication? What's the coaching? What do the coaching conversations look like? Obviously, IT people, technology people, CIOs, CTOs, IT directors, we have to talk to people. We have to talk to them. What do these coaching conversations look like?
Yeah, it's a lot of communication that I like to have with the users, especially, you know, post phishing email. A lot of people, they'll release it and then it's done. Like, we did it and four people clicked and they're like, okay, hopefully they learned something. Like, you got to have a follow-up post. What percentage of people got tricked by this villain you made? Like, that lets them know, like, and they're like, oh my God, I was the 1%. Like, what was I thinking? You know, and they'll reach out to you again, and then it gets that communication flowing. Like, anything that promotes communication, I think, is really big, especially when people are reporting them and there's been over 10 users, or, you know, depending on the size of your company, that got the email, like, you might want to make a post. I've had it happen where someone clicked on it. They, you know, someone didn't click on it. They reported it. And then I post a picture of it and say, hey, a lot of people got this email. It was bad. Let me know if you clicked on it or anything, report it now. It gets reported, and then I can change their password or whatever it is, you know, before anything really bad happens. So if you don't send those communications out, you're never going to know. Same thing with, like, cyber news. Like, it makes it more relevant if a company that they use got hacked, right? If they have a Walmart gift card and Walmart gets hacked, they mm-hmm. have a Walmart, you know, shopping cart, or they go to Walmart all the time, or they're a Target person and Target gets, like, it just makes it a little bit realer.
The Target hack, of course, crazy. The Target one, yeah. that was through the HVAC. That was insane. Like, smart. That's my understanding of it, was through the HVAC, some kind of, it was through a vendor, actually. I think vendors are one of the biggest weaknesses, but, because vendors hold a lot of keys to your, they hold a lot of your information. And I can't imagine that every vendor out there is all their employees. That's a huge weakness. It's just as big a weakness as maybe second biggest than your own people.
There's a lot too. Of them. Yeah, there's a lot of them like that. I always think of the Ring cameras. And then my favorite story that I like sharing with individuals that are kind of talking about this sort of thing with smart devices, I always like talking about the casino that got hacked through the fish tank in the lobby that was automating feeding the fish. They got in through that system that was
Shut up.
And they never got caught. So I don't know. I don't recall how much they stole, but it was a lot of money, and it was through
that. Wasn't the Caesar's Palace one,
fish
was it?
Tank.
It
might have been, but that was always like a good story. Like, when someone's come to you and they're talking to you about smart devices, like, have little things like that for all the different.
What's up with the Ring cameras? Tell me about the Ring cameras. I'm curious.
Oh, the Ring cameras were too. They were, the credentials were being stored in plain text. So it was easy to get in and easy to get the Ring cameras. It happened a couple of years ago. So it was a, you know, changes that they had to make on their end, but it was like, I don't know how those type of things happen, which is probably why you're seeing a lot of the crackdown now for, you know, made securely, that you're seeing from the government right now too.
Yeah. Because we don't care. We just want it to work. I mean, I used to turn my, in my old house, the oven was a smart oven. So we'd be out for a long day, something like that. Oh, what are we going to do for dinner tonight? Oh, the kids are hungry. Like, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know. Turn the oven on. Let's throw some frozen pizzas in. So I'd turn the oven on when we were like half an hour away from home, because I could turn the oven on like via smart. There's no way that thing's secure. And I was like, maybe it is.
Yeah. There's got to be lots of that, right?
Like, there's so many, like, even the, you know, and I turn on like the search for like wireless devices or something, or smart homes device. I'm like, oh, I didn't know our dishwasher like had a, you know, I didn't know our refrigerator had that. I'm like, let's add the refrigerator, add the dishwasher. Now, what am I going to do anyway? Start my dishwasher remotely, or what do I care? Or it's going to ding me when it's done.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. Kind of cool. But, I've given up. I basically believe that everyone has all my information already. You can have my social security number. You can have it if you want. I don't know what you're going to do with it. This is probably the very, tell me I'm wrong.
And I agree with you. I feel like everyone's got everything. So, you know, I obviously everyone has some sort of problem with it from some level, but I'm like, hey, I'm not doing anything illegal. So
just have nothing to hide. Yeah.
If you want to get, if you want to get into my video games, you know, I'll make a new account and level back up again.
Unless they stole your World of Warcraft hero. They can sell.
Oh, that was a big thing too. Yeah.
Remember when people were dying from like mining gold in like a basement in like Japan? Some kid died from that or something. Remember those slaves they would have like mining gold?
That's crazy.
Okay. Positive feedback. Reward users. Make them want to do more. What kind of rewards are we giving out? What is the $20 Amazon gift card or what?
Yeah, I mean, if you can do that as a company, I definitely think that's big. If someone reports something, it's gone to multiple people, and then you find out later on that someone had clicked it. Like, he's saving you a lot of pain and anguish if you discover that 2, 3, 4 weeks later that the account's compromised. So definitely, you know, throw him a reward, you know.
I could send you out some nerd glasses. I've got a bunch of nerd glasses with tape in between that say Dissecting Popular Nerds on the side. We can give those out if you want.
If you have like a monthly meeting or you have a quarterly meeting, do the cybersecurity hero of the month, you know. Grab the That Was Easy button, press it, do the horns, you know, make it fun, make it exciting, you know, how much do you want to see me do that now? Like, that's actually one, I got that from one of the Know Before trainings, where they're like, oh, you're going to do the minute? And the cybersecurity guy goes, cybersecurity minute, with like explosions behind him and everything.
Yeah.
And I recreated that. I was like, this is so corny and ridiculous. Like, everyone's going to remember it. It was a company awesome. That I worked for before. And I got emails after I had left that were like, we're so disappointed because we were looking forward to the explosions and they didn't do it. They didn't have the guts that Cyber Mike did to have explosions in the background. So,
oh my gosh. You just brought up some, my corporate America life. When I worked in corporate America, we had some crazy stuff. I remember we had a market. There was this guy, Grant Jennings. We should tag him to this show. He'll probably be mad if I brought this up. But he had a team. This was back when we were like, I don't know. When I started out in technology, I started out selling. We started at this Cisco startup, and we were selling these Cisco 2800 series routers. And, you know, it was like a small business solution where you could get, you know, you could get your internet and your phone and your VPN connection and offsite backup, 250 megs of offsite backup, you know, backup your files. You could do all of this stuff. It's an all-in-one, your web hosting, everything, you know, and everything all through this, like, you know, Cisco startup company. Anyways, he had a team Rambo, and he dressed up one of those torsos, those punching bag torsos, you know, that have like the black ball on the bottom and it's like a punching bag, but it looks like a human. It's like a torso. So he dressed that up as Rambo, and it had like a wig on it and like the scars and like all the, it, like, looked like Rambo, you know what I mean? He had like a bandana around it, all this stuff. And every time he had to like give a talk, he would bring this torso up, and he'd be like, okay, Team Rambo, this month, you know, congratulations to so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. And I was on a different team, and they were like our arch enemy. And we were team kicked to the face. And I remember we like beat whatever it was, whatever the metrics were, like we beat, like, you know, Team Rambo that month, or like whatever, market director Rambo. And I looked over at my boss and I was like, can I go dropkick Rambo for the head? since we're team kicked to the face, right? And he's like, please do it. Please, whatever you do. He's like, absolutely, you can. Don't worry, I'll talk to HR. I'll tell him that, you know, I told him like it was okay. It was team building. Like, you know, like he's like, please do it. There are like 250 people in this room, 200 people in this room. And like, you know. So I like start stretching, doing a few calf stretches and everything. And then everyone had to present their numbers for the month, whatever it was. So then when it came our time to present the numbers, we were right after Team Rambo. I was like, please, they're going to call us next. Can I please get drop kicked? And he was like, yes. I remember I had to like come running through the crowd. I literally did like Karate Kid, like, you know, like Karate Kid kick to the face, like right underneath the chin of Rambo. I don't think it could have been executed any better. Rambo came off the bottom torso. The torso came off the like the base, flew up into the air, went through the ceiling tiles. There was a ceiling tile, and came down through the other ceiling tile like a dead body on the. like 200 people were like cheering forever, and like I remember after that meeting, like some guy was like, "Yeah, that was the best thing I've ever seen in my life."
Yeah. If you can do stuff like that and make it around IT and cyber, people are going to remember it. You're right.
I think this was back before. This was back during the Bez, back during BlackBerry Exchange days. So this was back in the day. This was back before any, I don't know, probably anyone cared about security. Yeah, they did, but it wasn't. How long ago do you think security became a thing? Like, when did it really become a thing? 10 years ago, 20 years ago? I mean, yeah, we had people like hacking and email hacking and, you know, different stuff like that. But when do you think it really became a really bad thing?
Yeah, maybe like 10 years ago from like the corporate level. And that's maybe still early.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's still
it's not
early.
That old. It's not that old.
Yeah.
We act like this is it. This is it now.
So yeah, when you think about nation state hackers, right? They're like, now's the time. Like,
it's going to get worse.
We're talking about that a lot now, like the water systems and the government, like stopping and making more regulations to stop things. Like, now's the time of that era of these nation states that are taking over. So it's just getting more and more profitable. So it's getting taking off more and more because the money's there.
So other than your users, and first of all, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. A lot of fun. A lot of sidetracking by me, so I apologize for that, but I can't help talking about dropkicking Rambo in the head. What other areas of security are like, I mean, so we talked a lot about phishing and kind of the end user weakness piece, but what's the rest? Like, where else do people go? Cause there's so much other just stuff, you know what I mean? Like, how do we prevent data leaks? I guess that comes through users as well. I mean, what else is keeping you up at night?
Yeah, it's really, for any company, identifying the crown jewels, like identifying the data and what's important for your company, and then finding out what touches your data. Like, employees is always going to be one of the answers for touching your data, but what applications, where's your data stored? Like, do you have cameras? Do you have badge access? How's the security of your badge access? Do you have badge access, but someone that got fired 3 years ago is still in the system and it can be used? Like, it's a lot of that, a lot of cleanup. Find out your old users and get rid of them. Don't leave them there. Don't leave these vulnerabilities, these ghost users in your systems, in your applications, in your programs. Because if they get into those, then they can spread it around. And that's a lot of what's happening. I see a lot now too, with like the firewalls are getting hit pretty hard right now. So I would definitely focus a lot on that because it seems like everyone has it. So it seems like one of those Mac versus Apple, Mac versus PC situations where,
Meraki versus Fortinet.
Right. Meraki and Fortinet. Most companies have some sort of firewall somewhere. Mm-hmm. So if you're finding a vulnerability there, a lot of people are affected. So make sure that you have your network flows correctly. Make sure you have your users on point. Make sure you're blocking things, not allowing everything, different things like that. It's a lot of cleanup needs to happen. I feel like that's a big thing too. Set it and forget it. Like, revisit some of the stuff you haven't looked at in years. Like, oh, that's been there for 10 years. I haven't looked at it in a while. Look at it.
Cyber Mike, thank you so much for being on Dissecting Popular IT Nerds. For everyone out there listening, you can just search Cyber Mike on LinkedIn, but you can also just listen to the show and go find his URL on our page as well. We'll have the download for the first line of defense, not the last line of defense training. And I'm sure you're open to anyone reaching out to you if they need any advice or anything like that, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Feel free to reach out. Phil, absolute honor to be on the show. Really love it. Been listening. Really great stuff. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, sir.